Hi and welcome to CDC ENS podcast series. I am Lara Martin from CDC Environmental and Social Responsibility team, and in today's podcast, we will be talking about the current trends in energy efficiency in emerging markets. Addressing energy efficiency in businesses contributes to minimize operational costs while making and at times substantial contributions towards tackling climate change, and more broadly, contributing towards achieving sustainable development goals. In today's podcast, Nicholas Stone from CDC Environmental and Social Responsibility team will be interviewing Arjun Gupta. Arjun Gupta is the founder and CEO of Smart Joules. Smart Joules is a company which focuses on identifying and implementing energy efficiency measures, primarily in the Indian healthcare sector. Since its incubation, Smart Joules has delivered large energy savings and has developed a number of innovative payment and financing models in order to help their clients realize the business opportunity which can arise from energy efficiency. Now, let's hear Nick Stone and Arjun Gupta interview and all they have to say about energy efficiency.
Arjun, I think it'd be very interesting to hear your thoughts on the role energy efficiency is currently playing towards tackling climate change in India.
India is taking energy efficiency extremely seriously. And to give you a number, you know, as per our India's official targets, between 2010 and 2035, 51% of our cumulative greenhouse gas abatement is meant to be achieved through energy efficiency. That's double of renewable energy. This is as per the government's official statistics. And, you know, there are several national programs to enable this large-scale efficiency enhancement program across the country. I can mention some of them here. One of them is called the Perform, Achieve, and Trade policy. This is, you know, in short form, it's called PAT. Under this policy, there are 621 designated consumers. So these are like individual factories across 11 key end-use sectors and industries like iron and steel, cement, and you know the goal is to reduce the disparity in the energy efficiency levels within these industries. So some of these factories are really efficient and some of them are really laggards. So this whole policy is meant to pull up the laggards. And you know, it was this policy was instituted about 4 or 5 years ago. And in the first phase of this policy, which ended 1 or 2 years ago, we've already achieved 5,600 megawatts of reduction in energy consumption. So that is, you know, in terms of carbon emissions, that's like 1.9% of India's total carbon emissions. So, you know, very effective policy called Perform, Achieve, and Trade. Now it's in its second cycle. And, you know, with every cycle, the targets given to each of these factories get more stringent. And also more factories are added under the policy. So that's, you know, an example of a very important policy that we have on energy efficiency. A couple of others that are worthy of mentioning here are Energy Conservation Building Code. Now, this is a very common policy measure in energy efficiency used around the world that, you know, new buildings that are being built and even some existing buildings, they have to meet certain energy efficiency standards in terms of design. And, you know, these building codes have been around for a long time in India, but they have recently, government has started paying more attention to it and being very serious about the implementation of this code. And, you know, across, I wouldn't say the code is applied across India and checked, but, you know, there are a couple of states like Telangana and Andhra Pradesh that have really taken leadership and implemented this code at a statewide level. And they're seeing the benefits of this code. Then another very important program that we have is a standards and labeling program. You know, there are multiple appliances like lights, fans, air conditioners, refrigerators, pumps, all kinds of end-use devices that are covered under the standards and labeling program. You know, it's very similar to what you would see in the US and a lot of European countries, where efficient appliances are, you know, get a high star rating, like a 5-star rating, and you know, lower efficient appliances get a 1-star, 2-star, or 3-star rating, or 4-star ratings. And this really, you know, encourages the end customers to purchase efficient appliances. So just with a simple star rating, they're able to figure out whether the appliance is efficient or not and what they should buy. And the labels are also very interesting, because you know they kind of tell you how much energy you are likely to consume in a whole year under normal circumstances from that device. So you know these are official policies and programs that are running really well. And apart from this, I'd also like to mention there's a whole government company, it's a public sector enterprise called Energy Efficiency Services Limited, EESL in short, which was set up by the government of India to accelerate energy efficiency in India. So this company has seen tremendous success. In fact, it's well recognized around the world as an example of energy efficiency executed at scale. You know, a couple of their notable achievements have been, you know, they were able to drive down the cost of a normal LED bulb by a factor of almost 10. So I'd say that, you know, in at least in my experience of 10, 15 years working in energy efficiency in India, there couldn't have been a better time to be in the sector.
Okay, that's great. So it's clear that there's some strong policy drivers coming through around this topic. But what do you see as the main business drivers for energy efficiency, and why should a business care about this topic and take it seriously?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. And, you know, our whole business is kind of built on the premise that energy efficiency is one of the best investments. The obvious benefit is energy cost reduction, right? Everybody understands that if you save energy, energy is costly. It's getting costlier by the day. And for some industries like cement, energy cost is a very high percentage of their overall cost. So, you know, more than 50%. So if you save a little bit of energy, it translates directly into your bottom line. The simplest example of energy efficiency is LED lighting, right? Now, an LED light has a lifetime, useful lifetime of 50,000 burning hours, whereas a CFL has around 20,000 or less burning hours. So directly, you can see that you have to replace fewer bulbs. So your CapEx in lighting over a period of 5 to 10 years is reduced in less than half. Then I'll give you an example of a hospital that we worked with recently. So, you know, just through redoing their air conditioning system, making it more efficient and kind of redesigning how cooling is delivered in the hospital, we were able to free up 1,000 tons of cooling capacity. So that's like 5 chillers that are installed there, but are no longer required to be installed there. So these 5 chillers can be moved to another hospital that belongs to the same hospital chain, and they don't need to buy 5 new chillers. So, you know, that's a major capital cost reduction, you know, to the tune of £200,000. So, you know, those are CapEx benefits. Then I will move to a second category of benefits, which is reliability improvement. So not only do you get energy savings, but typically you find that, you know, in the process of doing an energy retrofit or energy efficiency project, you will end up improving the reliability by a tremendous amount. And, you know, also enabling preventive maintenance through the use of data that you're capturing if you're monitoring the energy consumption well. So an example of this is, you know, another hospital that we work with, St. Stephen's Hospital in LA. They had some issues with their MRI machine. So Philips, which is their MRI machine manufacturer, OEM, said that, you know, your AMC, your annual maintenance contract for this MRI machine is no longer valid because we require certain temperature and humidity conditions to be maintained. And if they are not maintained, our warranty and our AMC is no longer valid. So, you know, through the air conditioning retrofits that we performed in the hospital, the humidity levels, which were earlier higher than 65% during the monsoon periods, are now maintained at 55%, you know, between 50 and 60%. And 60% is a limit that the OEM allows you. So earlier they were, you know, hovering around 65%. Now we are constantly monitoring the humidity levels and maintaining them. And we are able to show the OEM that, you know, we are maintaining the humidity at our end. So if there's an issue now, it's you know, you have to deal with it. So reliability improvement is huge. Then there are other benefits such as, you know, improving the ease of operations and maintenance in a facility, reducing the time required by the staff to actually spend on maintenance issues, so they can refocus their energies and time on better, higher value add activities. And then, you know, improving indoor air quality.
I guess the case sounds fairly compelling as it is, but I think it'd be also very interesting to understand how you see the role of energy efficiency and maybe some of the opportunities in India evolving over the next few years, and what kind of trajectory you think this market is on.
What's happening in the sector is that the low-hanging fruit are quickly disappearing. So companies are getting their act together and actually, you know, doing the retrofits that are very simple, like LED lighting and, you know, replacement of fans with brushless DC motors and adding variable frequency drives to kind of, dynamically control your motors. So such easy to do retrofits are being done at a large scale across industries right now in India already. The challenge and the opportunity is to take it to the next level. There are two clear opportunities here that I see. One is, to be able to use actual operational data from facilities of various kinds to figure out where energy is being wasted at any given point of time and continuously manage energy. So, you know, the challenge and the opportunity is to move from a mindset of replacing equipment to continuously managing and optimizing energy use. So, you know, here's where IoT and data analytics play a big part. So that's a big evolution that I see in energy efficiency coming forward. And, on the business model side, you know, there are still a lot of easy things that are not being done. So, you know, the business model side, the real opportunity is to make energy savings simple. You know, right now it's very complicated for a business to kind of think about energy efficiency and evaluate whether it's good for them or not. You know, various business models floating out there. So, you know, whereas if you think about a solar energy, it's very easy to buy. Right, it's priced as same dollars or kilowatt or cents per kilowatt hour that you buy. And you're used to seeing that number on your energy bill, right? You know what is your cost of energy. So when a solar developer tries to sell solar energy, it's the same thing that you're used to seeing. So it's a very easy buy. But if you look at energy efficiency, it's not that. It's very complicated, right? So the opportunity here is to make it very simple for your end customer to buy energy efficiency.
Fantastic. So just building on some of those points then, I think it'd be great to hear some of the practicalities of the approaches that you've been adopting at Smart Jewels. And if you can walk us through how you've identified and implemented energy efficiency initiatives with the clients that you're currently working with.
Yeah, I'd be happy to elaborate on that. The point I made about making energy efficiency easy to buy, that is the point at which we started our business about 4 years ago. We started with a standard offering called Joule Pays, which is pay as you save. So here what we tell our customers and end users of energy is that, you know, you have a historical energy consumption, like you've spent, let's say, £400,000 on your total energy consumption in the last year. So we guarantee that, you know, after we are done with our project, that total energy expenditure is going to be at least 15% less than it has been. And we will simply charge them on a monthly basis a percentage of the savings that we have delivered to them. At their end, all they have to do is sign the contract and support us, morally support us and give us some practical support on the ground. Other than that, the entire project design, financing, execution, maintenance, everything related to the project is done by us. So that's a very easy thing for a customer to say yes to. There's no investment from their side. There's no technical or project management from their side. And, you know, they enjoy guaranteed reductions in the energy consumption and the energy bills for a fixed period of time. So it's a simple contract for them to understand and go through and adopt. Now, you asked about how we actually go about execution on the ground. So, you know, we have a 9-month period of execution of energy efficiency retrofit measures at the customer site. In the first month, we study. So we typically work with buildings. So I'm going to take that, you know, the buildings context here. We typically study the building in depth over the first month or 2 months. That involves, you know, reviewing the historical energy consumption data, sub-meter data, collecting the list of assets that are in the hospital or the hotel, reviewing the logs, complaint logs, like where all they have troubles in the system, taking readings of temperatures, running hours, you know, and other flow measurements, detailed measurements on site to evaluate how, you know, particular large equipment and systems such as air conditioning, hot water and steam are performing. So once we've done this kind of, you know, a detailed investigation of the building, we look at a standard list of energy conservation measures that we have. And this list is more than 100 energy conservation measures that can be done, implemented in a single building. So, you know, we look at those measures and see which ones are applicable in that building. And, you know, we typically find that at least 25 to 30 of them would be applicable. And then in addition, there are always opportunities to improvise, you know, which are more system level improvements, which are particular to the sites. So, you know, then we go through a process of shortlisting and doing deep technical and commercial analysis of each of these energy conservation measures and preparing a note for each measure, you know, which outlines the technical details, what exists now, what are we proposing, and also the financial details. And, you know, once we have these, we do an internal assessment of whether to take it forward to implementation or not. And the ones that we shortlist for implementation, we then present to our clients, clearly outlining what their responsibilities are going to be related to these energy conservation measures, if any, what cooperation we need from their side. And, you know, once we get their approval, we move forward with implementation.
Fantastic. So I think we've got time for just one more question. And it would be great to hear if you have any tips or recommendations for those listening who might be keen to find out a bit more or keen to start putting energy efficiency measures in place in their own businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. We are full of recommendations for that. The first one is to realize that energy efficiency is a team sport. This is not an individual sport like tennis. It's a team sport like football. So you need engineering, procurement, finance, project execution, maintenance, all of these teams to work together to achieve significant improvements. Second is to have a clear set of financial criteria that are acceptable for your organization. So, you know, to put it in simple words, for us, the financial criteria is that anything that has a payback period of less than 2 years is most definitely going to be implemented in the facilities with whom we work. And, you know, there is, of course, a standard assessment of how that payback is calculated. Any energy efficiency measure that has less than 2 years payback, which means the return on investment is tremendous, more than 20% a year, right? So it's a very simple financial criteria. And every organization has these criteria already. You just need to say, okay, the same criteria can apply to energy efficiency. And then you need to take it seriously and actually go ahead and do it if it's meeting that criteria. Then the third thing which I would like to mention, which is kind of missed typically, is that we would like to advise businesses to take a comprehensive approach towards energy efficiency and not a piecemeal approach. What I mean by that is that you can do, you know, lighting retrofit, or you can do like, you can decide that I'm going to change a few pumps this year. And, you know, you can convince your management and your finance, your CFO that, you know, investing in these few measures is a good idea. But what's going to happen is that at the end of the day, they're going to look at the bill and they're going to realize that not much has changed. And, you know, that's why you need to do a bunch of things together, because what the executive at the end of the day, the management is looking at is a substantial reduction in your overall bills. So, you know, clubbing together a bunch of energy efficiency measures together is always a good idea. Then the last point is the same thing that I mentioned earlier, which is that energy efficiency is a continuous process. It is not a one-time deal. It's not once and done. So, you know, kind of have that kind of mindset built into your teams that you need to continuously monitor your performance and continuously manage your performance.
Thank you very much for listening to this ENS podcast. Hope you enjoyed it, and please watch out for our next podcast, which will be on green buildings. In the meantime, if you'd like to find out more about the topics we looked at in this episode or other ENS areas, you can visit our ESG Toolkit for Fund Managers on toolkit.cdcgroup.com.